Hey, this is Holly. Before we start today's episode, I just wanted to pop in and say we record ahead of time because of a lot of things going on in our lives. So the episode that you're going to hear today was recorded before everything in our world shifted because of coronavirus. So please listen with that in mind. We've heard from people too that they still like to hear about things other than just the coronavirus. So we've decided to go ahead and air these episodes. But we wanted to give you a little heads up. Again, we appreciate you for being our fourth chair friend. And whatever is to come, we are going to figure out how to get through it together.
Because here you are, you know, there's fear, there's discouragement, whatever it is, whatever somebody has given you as your prize for the day. And suddenly you see yourself as who you are. And you're not crazy.
Mm-mm.
You're strong. You're wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, you bring value.
Yeah. I just felt like you were saying you're enough. Like just right now, even in this messy place, you're enough.
Absolutely.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your favorite place together.
Hello, fourth chair friends. We are glad to be back with you again this week, and we want to tell you, you're not crazy.
We're a little crazy.
Yeah, maybe you didn't need to hear that today, but sometimes we do.
Yeah. So I want to kind of just... We're going to go deeper into this, and Jennifer is going to kind of flesh some of this out for us. But before I ask the confession question, I want you to know that we're not experts here.
Right.
We're friends. We're friends. And this actually came out of a conversation that we had that went really deep. There were tears. And it feels very vulnerable sharing this, but I want you to know that we understand that we're not the only one talking about these things.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we can feel like, that we're just, I don't know, that somehow we're crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know how to put that in more gentle words, that we can second guess ourselves for a number of reasons. And so today the confession question is, what makes you second guess yourself?
Yeah. So I was thinking about this, and really it's input from others that triggers my insecurities. So when I was 31, I was going through this kind of health crisis. I was recovering from surgery, but I was kind of on the other side of it. And something happened that really hurt my feelings. So I was brave and I expressed, okay, this really hurt my feelings. And this is what was said. And what I got back in response was, maybe you need to check your hormones.
Oh, wow.
You know? And so all of a sudden, I was hurt. And then I was like, oh, great. So I'm hurt and wounded, but I'm crazy.
Yeah.
You know? And my hormones are out of whack. So a lot of times, especially as women, we will hear that phrase kind of, you know, thrown in our direction, you're acting crazy.
Yeah.
Which I always know that nothing makes me want to go postal than someone saying that to me. But that is such a, I think it's a careless thing to throw at people when they're really wrestling and being brave and, you know, sharing their hearts with you.
And there's a term for that. And it's called gaslighting.
Yeah.
And this is where we were wrestling as we were sitting around the table is, what does that even mean? What is it? What is it not? And so we're not coming at you, like, again, as experts or that we have all the answers. But I think it's important to know what is gaslighting?
Well, it looks like saying things like you're crazy, or I was just kidding when I said that, or you're overreacting. No, you're too sensitive. So when you're hearing all of those phrases back to back to back, that will make you doubt yourself, right?
Okay.
It triggers insecurity. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, I am. And you start to believe that. So there can be a pattern in relationships where when you get brave enough to express something and then it's turned around, you know, the issue that happened that wasn't your fault. And then all of a sudden at the end of the conversation, you're apologizing like you did something wrong.
Yeah.
You know, so that to me is a really good, like, breaking it down, an example of what gaslighting means is the blame always shifts to goes back to you.
So it sounds like it's when someone invalidates your thoughts or feelings.
Yes. Yeah.
Which isn't a healthy response. Right. You know, we can disagree with each other all day long. Right. Someone can say, I hear you and I don't agree at all.
Yeah.
And that is different because it leads to discussion and both people being able to contribute. But it sounds like gaslighting is when someone says what you're expressing just isn't valued.
Right.
Or valid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not only is it not valid, but you're crazy.
Yeah.
You're crazy for having expressed that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and you end up going, I wish I wouldn't have said anything.
Yeah.
So it minimizes it and then it causes people to go mute, you know, on things that they really need to be able to speak about openly. So I think loving relationships is having a conversation, even if it's heated, and knowing that there's room for disagreement, there's room for clarity, there's room to kind of back up and say, okay, you know, can you explain what you meant by that? And to where it's not accusatory and attacking.
Or I think it causes us to say, and we talked about this a little bit, is it must be me. Right. Like we just automatically say, it must be me.
Yeah.
We take sort of the whole relationship onto our shoulders, the whole responsibility.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's us.
Yeah, of course.
Or at least we're contributing something to whatever's going on. But I think that's different than someone sort of saying, I'm going to hand you all the responsibility.
Yeah.
I'm going to hand you the blame in a way that makes it feel like you're the only person who's part of this.
That's a double bind.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah, there's no way.
There's no way out of that.
Yeah.
So what's made you guys second guess yourself?
Well, I can think of now of times when I've thought, well, it must be me. You know, when someone has said something and I've just automatically assumed that. I think we're talking about it kind of in a personal context, but I think I can feel a little crazy when I start looking at experts who say this is the way it must be done.
Yeah.
Which sort of is another version of invalidation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because they're sort of invalidating any other way but their way.
Yeah.
And they're saying what your thoughts on this aren't valid. And so that's when I kind of, in a different way, usually in my professional life, I go into a space where I'm like, I must be crazy to think that I can do this different way, that whatever it is. A lot of times it's related to being an introvert. I must be crazy to think I can be an introvert and be great at marketing or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so I think, recognizing too, this can happen on different levels.
Right.
It can happen one-on-one. It can happen in organizations. It can happen in settings where there's an expert.
Yeah.
So just being aware that this is just an unhealthy social dynamic.
Yeah.
And when we're unaware of it is when we tend to just go along with it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what shuts me down is unhealthy debate. And honestly, debate. I mean, there's a place for debate. There is, with rules and all the things. Mm-hmm. But when someone comes at it with a desire to win at all cost, it completely makes me second guess myself.
Right.
Because number one, I'm not good at debate. Even because I'm not in it to win.
Right.
I'm reading a book called, I believe it's called The Infinite Game, by Simon Sinek. I hope I said his name correctly. But it's really powerful because it said that so many times we approach, whether it's a relationship, a job, leadership, whatever it is, and we come at it with the desire to win short term, to put that win in our pocket and walk away, that what happens when we do that is we absolutely annihilate the ability to have a long-term healthy result from that.
Yeah.
And so it made me step back and look in leadership where I'm at in ministry. Am I, you know, is this about Susie winning or Susie, you know, whether that's book sales or, you know, numbers and all of that? Or is this, man, I have been called and there is a long-term goal that I get to play a part with God's heart, something he has on his heart. And long-term, whether I'm in it or not, it's still on his heart.
Right.
And so am I looking at this with a long-term goal, and maybe the win that I bring to it is not even seen? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So debate debate can just completely knock me on the ground.
Yeah. Which, again, I think can be another form of invalidation.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it is.
You know, I'm just going to annihilate you.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Definitely devaluing and dismissing.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I have met individuals that if I were looking at the sun and saying, oh, there's the sun. Like, nope, that's the moon.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes, they love to argue.
It really is the sun. No, it's the moon. And it's just, there's an arguing and it's oh, goodness. I think debate should be on a debate stage with rules for a specific reason. And that in relationships, whether that's in our home or that's in ministry or that's across the street or on social media, that debates very rarely have a good long-term result.
Right. Yeah. Choose discussion over debate.
Well, and something that you hear often in the South, especially when I was growing up, is don't be ugly, you know? when I've been watching these presidential debates, I want to be like, oh, don't be ugly. Back that down, you know? But, and I can hear my mom's sweet voice, you know, in my ear saying, that's just ugly, you know? and I would always get the tap that would say tap, 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 which meant be sweet, you know, because she knew that that was my nature. But then there's also that snarky, salty side of me that wanted to be like, well, you know, which is common now that I'm raising teenagers. I get it. So it's just, it's one of those things where, you know, all joking aside, I really want to see us as women move away from like the victim mentality of this and learn how to just kind of gradually just say, like, walk in a strength that we know that has been given to us by God and just say, you know what, I want to be able to process this and distinguish what is truth. So in thinking about what's going to help us with that, what I have done personally is I surround myself with people who will tell me the truth. So I'll ask a friend and say, this is what's going on in my life. Am I overreacting? You know, and they know me and they will say, and they have full reign and room to say whatever they need. I love the scripture that says wounds from a friend can be trusted. And so when Susie or Holly or a best friend, Carrie, will say things, when they say the hard things, I listen to them because I know it's done in love. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not to attack me. It's not to make me feel small. It's to help me sharpen me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think too, also just saying my thoughts and feelings are valid.
Yeah.
Your thoughts and feelings are valid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Valid does not equal healthy.
Yeah.
It does not equal anything other than they are just real.
Right.
Because until we acknowledge that, we can't own our own thoughts and feelings, which is the start of taking healthy, God-given responsibility. And until we do that for others, we cannot engage in, like Susie was saying, productive discussion. And so I think sometimes we back away from that out of fear or misunderstanding or things we've falsely been taught about certain thoughts or feelings, but just knowing that the starting place of dealing with anything, which does not mean you want to stay where you are, but saying, this is where I am right now. This is what I really think.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I really feel.
Yeah.
And if someone refuses to hear that, not refuses to agree with it, because they are allowed to disagree with you.
Right.
But if someone refuses to hear that, it is okay to say, I want to have a conversation with you.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that in a helpful way, I need to know you're able to hear me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think that's
smart.
Can
we try this again?
So good.
Yeah. And I think it's also important, Holly, that when someone is being gaslighted or beaten down or invalidated, whatever direction it's coming from, whether that is overt or it's subtle, you know, they don't even know they're doing it. It's just a bad relationship pattern. I think it's really important that we validate each other.
Yeah.
That, and I watched this in action just yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I did. And it like, I cried on the way home and I'm weepy now because I'm still going through recovery.
Hey,
and so alive. I still, the emotions are all there, but you know, I just thought that was beautiful. And that is the body of Christ. And that is what should happen, is that if any one person feels invalidated, for another person to say, I see you, I see the beauty in you, and I am here for you. You know, and good grief. You know, how many of us would take a deep breath just to hear those words from someone solid? And I think that's what you were saying, absolutely, Jennifer.
Well, and I'll just be vulnerable because that's what we do here. Yesterday, I was just, I'm strong in the faith, but when we feel attacked or we feel broken over something, it kind of triggers us back to that smallness that we used to feel when we were walking in insecurity. And so what I said was, will you still love me if blank? And I'm telling you, these ladies were on it, you know, Holly, and looking at me, making that eye contact, grabbing my shoulder and speaking truth over me. We will still love you no matter what. You cannot fail us.
Nope.
I needed that so desperately. So it brought tears to my eyes and I didn't realize I just needed, you know, everyone to speak truth over me in that broken moment of being vulnerable and sharing what I was going through.
Yeah.
And that moment was powerful for me too, because on the drive home, I felt like God was like, that is how I feel about you too.
Yeah. I love that. Now we're all teary. Yes. But no, it was
so good.
It was sweet. It was sweet and it was good.
It's powerful.
It was powerful. Mm-hmm. But it was faith changing.
Yes.
Because here you are, you know, there's fear, there's discouragement, whatever it is. And you're grappling with whatever debate words, whatever somebody has given you as your prize for the day. And suddenly you see yourself as who you are. And you're not crazy.
Mm-mm.
You're strong. You're wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, you bring value.
Yeah. I just felt like you were saying you're enough. Like just right now, even in this messy place, you're enough.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think we need to know God never invalidates us.
It doesn't.
If someone or something in your life is invalidating you, that someone or something is out of alignment with the heart of God.
Yeah.
That does not mean they're an evil person.
Right.
That does not mean it's an irresolvable situation, but it means even the best of us at times fall out of alignment with the heart of God. Yeah. And sometimes we bring that to our relationships and it's okay to not receive that.
Yes. Yeah. We have a thing that we've done in my marriage with my husband, and I also have it with my children, and we call it Real Request. And I think that we pulled this from counseling years ago, counseling training. At any point, if someone in my family stops and says, and this has actually happened recently, and says, I have a real request, it means everything stops. Conversation stops. That this is like you're pulling up from the well something that this is really big and I really need you to hear me. My real request is this. And it's about your need in that moment.
Right.
And it changes the conversation for us, because sometimes we act like everything is a real request. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That everything, but this is saying, I really need to be heard right now. I don't think you're hearing me.
Yeah.
So my real request is, if you could just listen for the next 5 minutes without any excuse, trying to come back with, if you can just hear me, that's my real request.
That's good.
And that's, we don't use it very often, but we do use it.
It's
really helpful for us.
And I think that's a great next step.
Yeah.
That for us and whoever's listening, to say, what's going to be our code word in our marriage or our family or wherever it is, in the classroom of kids or Sunday school or wherever we are, do we need a code word that just says, I need you to hear me right now?
Yeah.
You know, pause, stop everything.
Yeah.
I need you to hear me.
Yeah.
So what is another practical step that we can take in this area?
I think having your people that have your back and being real enough, because a lot of times we will pull back and not share what's on our hearts and what we're going through. Because honestly, what I hear from a lot of women is, I don't want to be a bother and I don't want to be a burden. We think, I can't say this out loud. But when we give ourselves permission to kind of share our hearts with our sisters or whoever it is, mentor, mom, whoever, just let them speak that truth over them and tell them what you need in that situation. Like, that's my step, is just to not stay small and isolate yourself from people who will speak truth over you.
Yeah. And that can be hard to find. Let's just go ahead and throw that out there, because I know that there's somebody listening saying, oh, that's awesome that you have that.
Yeah.
You know, I might not have that, but look for that one who truly has your best interest at heart, who models a life that you love to see the wisdom in their life in that area.
Yeah, like or a counselor. It could be a pastor. It could be a teacher. Just someone close to you that you admire and you like the life that you see them living.
Yeah.
And I think the hard part is another step is saying, I will be that person.
Yeah.
I will make a commitment to not invalidate others in my life.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we have trouble finding safe people because we have unintentionally become an unsafe person.
Yeah.
And that is universal. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. Uh-uh. Every single one of us picks up patterns that maybe without realizing it, we are not as safe as we could be for others. And invalidation is such an easy one.
It is.
We think, oh, no, you're fine. Yeah. Or, you know, that's what it sounds like sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. With our best intentions.
Yeah.
But just pausing and saying, if I feel compelled to dismiss what someone is saying because I love them and so I don't want them to hurt, or because I disagree with them, whatever it is, I'm going to pause and I'm going to count to five before I respond. Just so I make sure I'm hearing before I'm speaking.
Yeah. Well, there's a verse, I believe it's in 2 Timothy 1, but it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and love and sound judgment.
Yeah.
And I love that.
It's my favorite verse.
Yeah. What I have to realize is that there are times that it's okay to have sound judgment and say, for example, in the debate, you know, that I was talking about, is to say, sound judgment right here is that I'm just going to disengage. I don't have to debate with you. I don't. And this actually happened not too long ago. We were talking with someone I really like. We see things differently on one topic. And she really wanted me to get it, to understand it, to embrace it, to live it. And I finally had to say, I so love you so much. But you and I see differently on this. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah. I think that's another form of validation.
Yeah.
Because you're still saying what you feel and what you think is valid. It's just different than me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But I don't think if we continue this conversation that you're going to change and I'm going to change. Yeah. And so let's go do this instead.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And there's it. And if it's really unhealthy, because that was a healthy situation, if it's an unhealthy situation and somebody is just trying to nail you to the wall, to be able to have sound judgment and say, this is a lose-lose, double-bind situation, and I'm not going to put myself into it.
Yeah.
You have permission to walk away.
Yeah, right. I think validation doesn't mean coming to a point of agreement. It means coming to a point of understanding.
Well, next week, our episode is called Holy Confidence, and I think that this is going to be a really great follow-up to our episode today. And I also have a resource for you. It's called Freedom, the Gutsy Pursuit of Breakthrough and the Life Beyond It. Because I have lived this story of insecurity and gaslighting and a fear, this book will just help you remove those labels of victim and teach you how to walk in victory and to know that you are worth being heard and you can have that holy confidence that God has just extended to you graciously and be confident in it.
We hear you, Fourth Chair friends, and we appreciate you listening to us too.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on klrc.com. You can also join us in our Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite app so you won't ever miss an episode.